Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. My name is Rob. I'm one of the pastors here, and 98% of what you just saw was true. There was about 2% of what you just saw that was wrong. Somehow the last week's video got played for this week's. So when they were talking about August, it is September. You're not thrown off. For those of you that did not pay attention, please wake up because you're about to hear some stuff. I want to make sure it doesn't go over your head. But we are excited for you to be here, and I'm really excited and honored for you to be here today. A couple things before we dive into what you're about to hear. If you were here for the very beginning of the service, there was a guy that helped us out with a special. If you liked what he did, he actually has his own music. His name is Dylan, and he's going to be around all day long, and he takes donations for his music, so you can actually get a copy of that if you want to give a donation and help him out. We really appreciate him helping us out. He goes to another church, and we really love being kingdom-minded. And speaking of being kingdom-minded, because it is God's kingdom, it's not ours. That's one of our core values, and I'm not going to embarrass him, but I do want to say that I'm incredibly honored to have a good pastor friend here today. His name is Freddie, and he is a pastor of Freedom Life Church, and Freedom Life is one of the churches that if I wasn't a pastor and if I didn't go to Next Level, I would go to Freedom Life. So it is a great church. They are great people, and I really love getting to know them, and so I'm so honored that he's here today, but I will not embarrass him and his family. Yeah. All right, one last thing, and then we'll dive in. If you're new, please take a chance on what I'm about to say. We do something called YouVersion. It is a free app that allows you to get a little bit more out of what you're about to hear, and you can follow the steps on there. If you're a regular attender, go ahead and follow the steps on there. And YouVersion is just it's an app that will allow you to get into the Bible, but there's a live page that allows you to interact a little bit more with what you're about to hear. And so there's a place to take notes. All the scriptures I'm going to cover are in there. You can give prayer requests on there. There's a question of the week that you can answer. And so if you want to interact and get a little bit more out of what you're about to hear, follow those steps. Well, today I would love to start things by giving you a chance just to simply talk to God. I don't know why you're at church today. I don't know if you're here because you love God or if you're here because you don't even know if he exists and you're wanting to know. I don't know what you brought in with you this week, whether it was an amazing week or whether this week was just full of awful. I don't know what you're carrying with you right now, but I'll tell you why I'm here. I'm here because I want to hear from God. I think that God still speaks, and I want him to say something to me. I want him to challenge me. I want him to stir something up inside of me. And so we're going to invite him to be a part of what we're about to do, and I want to allow you to do that as well. So if you would take just a second to simply talk to God, and here's what you can say. You can simply say this: God, would you speak to my heart? And would you give me the courage to do whatever you tell me to do? Would you guys spend a few moments praying and then we'll dive in? And God, that is our prayer, that you would speak to our hearts, and that you'd give us the courage to obey you even when it's difficult, even when we're afraid, and even when we don't want to. We thank you for how you're moving and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I need your guys' help this morning with something. I have up here a rope, and this rope is going to be part of the talk all morning long. So here's how you're going to help me. I'm going to actually pass this to the front row, and what we want to do is we want to create a line down the center of our auditorium. So you're going to just pass this back and keep this in the center. You can set it like kind of in between the chairs if you're actually sitting in the center. But the goal is to create two sides. We're going to create a divide. So this line is going to be like the center, like the equator, and there's going to be people on this side and people on that side. You guys right there get to choose which side you want to sit on depending on where you put the rope. So you're going to help me out with this. It is attached to the drum set, so please don't pull on it or we'll all be in trouble. And I'll probably get fired, so please don't pull too hard on it. But if you could help me out by stretching that all the way back, just pass it back till you create this center. We're going to create this line. This is fun. I made it blue so you guys can see it. Hopefully, can you guys in the back see it? Is your eyesight decent in the back? Can you guys see that? Yeah, one person answered. You see? Thank you very much for humoring me. Okay, great. That's perfect. All right, well, I don't know what your relationship with God is. I don't know what your background with God is. I don't know what your thoughts of God is. But I will tell you that when it comes to God, I have a struggle in my relationship with God. It is an ongoing struggle that has never gotten easier. Even as I get older, even as I grow in my faith, this struggle has not gotten easier at all. And this struggle is the exact same struggle that I have when it comes to dancing. Anyone like to dance? Okay, no, the people that didn't raise their hand most likely come from a Baptist background. Those of you that had your hands up, you might have been a little bit more charismatic backgrounds. Here's the deal. I think that all of us have the ability to dance. We may not be great dancers, but we all have the ability to dance. There is something, though, that separates those that love dancing and those that don't. And I am one that does not love dancing. My wife cannot understand this. She says to me all the time, I don't know why you don't like dancing. You have rhythm. And I don't claim to be the best dancer in the world, but I have a decent amount of rhythm. In fact, I've danced on a stage in front of 2,000 people. I did the MC Hammer dance in front of 2,000 people. No. I was a part of a flash mob of dance. The whole thing was dance, and I was a part of it, and I had to learn a routine. And so I've got some decent rhythm. Like, if you saw me dance, you wouldn't say, that guy just doesn't know how to clap his hands. Like, you would say, okay, he's got some rhythm. And yet, I don't like dancing. And so this is what happens to me at weddings. When we go to a wedding, there are two sides to basically the wedding reception. There are the people over in this section that just sit down and, like, people watch the whole time. They're just chilling out, getting refills, and just, they're not having fun. These people over here, they don't have fun. Sitting at a wedding, watching other people dance is not fun. This is where I find myself most of the time, okay? Sitting over here. Then, across on the other side of this line, you have all the people that are dancing, and they are having a great time. They're smiling, they're laughing. It looks so fun. And there are times when I'm sitting over here on this side, and I look over and I say, man, I am envious of those people because I'm not having a good time. I just want to go home. I'm at a wedding and I'm not enjoying myself. Those people look like they could be here all night long. I wish I could be more like the people over here. They just don't care. They are just dancing their faces off and they're having a lot of fun. Now, I sit over here for the vast majority of the wedding reception, but my wife loves to dance. So because I love my wife, I humor her by giving her like one dance. And typically, it's when a really slow song comes on so I can just like nuzzle up next to her and no one can tell I'm dancing. Like I just kind of stand right there. And after the slow song though, the DJ almost always does this. He like gets bored with the slow song. So he says, we're gonna speed things up. And he puts a fast song afterwards. So then I'm in this awkward position of like, do I just beeline back over to my seat or do I just kind of hang out here? My wife's having a really good time. She would love it if I danced. So oftentimes I find myself kind of straddling the two worlds of I don't fully commit to dancing, but I don't run back to my seat. And so for like one song or two, I just keep it simple. Right? Not too embarrassing. Just kind of bob a little bit. Kind of watch the other people. My wife's happy. I'm miserable though, because this isn't fun. I'm pretty bored, and everything in my mind is saying, go back over there, because over here it's safe, and even though this is boring, this is safe, and this is what I know, and I don't have to make a fool of myself, so I just want to get back over here. There is something inside of me, though, that in my mind I think, you know what, I belong over there. And there's something inside of me that says, you know what, I think I can do something more like this.
Now watch me whip. Now watch me nay-nay.
Okay.
Now watch me whip. Watch me nay-nay.
All right, that's enough. Now, I am convinced that the reason that people have fun dancing is because they fully commit to it. No matter how silly they look, no matter what dance move comes on, they just do it. If it's the electric slide, they're electric sliding. If it's the Macarena, they're Macarena-ing. If it's the Dougie, they're screaming, teach me how to Dougie. Like, whatever the dance is, they do the dance, and they fully commit, and they have fun with it. Us over here, we fully commit to just sitting. Like, no matter what you say to us, I'm not going over there. The people right here, they don't commit to either. It's just kind of safe. Now, last week we kicked off this series entitled Meant to Live, and our worship pastor, Stephen Haggerty, kicked off this series with a great main idea. The bottom line, in case you missed it, or just in case you forgot it, was simply this: to fully live, you have to fully give. To fully live, you have to fully give. And the talk last week was focused on one of Jesus' statements that if we're going to fully live, we have to fully give our lives to Him. We have to die to ourselves. We have to fully commit. And yet, the vast majority of Christianity is spent not fully committing. It's spent in this safe zone of just saying, you know, I kind of remember that life over there, and I don't want to go back to that, but I don't know if I can fully go over to that. I'm a little bit afraid. I'm a little bit scared. I'm a little bit embarrassed. What if people see me doing all this stuff, and they say, man, what's gotten into that person? So most of us like to just straddle this line that's in the middle, and we like to play it safe. And last week, we kicked off the series by saying to fully live, you have to fully give. Now, because we straddle it right here, I think this has caused a lot of problems for American Christianity. In 1996, my all-time favorite band came out with my all-time favorite album. The band was DC Talk. The album was Jesus Freak. And no one in here likes them at all. Typically, when you say a band, at least one Yahoo's like, woo! Not with that band. It's been too long. Good golly, I'm getting old. Well, on the album Jesus Freak, before one of their songs, they have a pastor, an author, a writer, quote this phrase. And this phrase, I think, is so important to what we're talking about today. Brennan Manning says this: the single greatest cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, then walk out the door and deny Him by their lifestyles. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. What an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable is not Christians who fully commit and are fully all in and are radical for their faith. What an unbelieving world struggles with is not Christians who say, yeah, I used to be that faith and I used to do that, but I'm more comfortable over here. What an unbelieving world struggles with is us Christians who like to just straddle this fence and play in both fields. Of, I'm not quite ready to fully commit to Jesus. I am a Christian, but I don't want to fully commit because I might look like a fool. I might embarrass myself. I don't even know exactly what that looks like. I'm also not going to go fully back here because I remember my past life. I remember what it looked like. So I'm just going to straddle the fence. And today what I want to do is I want to talk to you about this problem, because this is not a modern day American Christian problem. This is a problem that has plagued those that follow God since the beginning of following God. That there is something inside of us that says, yes, I believe in God, but I also want to hold on to something for myself. There's something inside of us that says, I believe in God, but I don't want to fully commit. I don't want to say, Jesus, take the wheel. I might put Him in the passenger seat, but I don't want Him driving. Man, these are bombing left and right. I'm not going to use that one next hour. There is something inside of us, though, that says, I don't want to fully give in and just give Jesus everything. I want to kind of have it both ways. And I want to show you that this is a problem through a story that we're going to talk about. It's a true story that happened many, many years ago. And I think in this story, it's going to speak to that we were meant to live for something so much more. This is something that I think is going to challenge us, and I hope it's going to inspire us to get off of this line and to make a decision. And the decision is not just get over here. The decision is up to you. You can go back over here and you can just play it safe to what you used to know, or you can get over here. But it's in this, straddling this line, where we get ourselves into trouble. Our text for today comes from what we call the Old Testament. And if you're not familiar with the Bible, if you didn't grow up in church, the Bible can be a very confusing book, because it's not just one book, it's lots of books written together. There's poetry in there, there's prophecy in there, there's history in there, there's a bunch of different authors that wrote it. And to make it even more confusing, it's divided into two sections, but they're not evenly split. The majority of our Bible is what we find in the Old Testament, and that is the story of God and His people before Jesus. Then the smaller section is what we call the New Testament, and it is the story of God and His people from Jesus onto the early church. There was about a 400-year of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And today what we're going to do is we're going to read something in the Old Testament. So this is before Jesus. And this is a world that we don't understand. In fact, oftentimes in our modern lenses, when we read the Old Testament especially, it is hard for us to read. The Old Testament is more like the world of Game of Thrones or Braveheart, or like it is barbaric. There is crazy stuff that happens in there. There's stuff that makes us scratch our heads. It is not a modern text. It is something that happened years and years and years ago. So often it's hard for us to wrap our minds around. But in the Old Testament, there was a guy by the name of Joshua. Now, Joshua is incredibly important because he was the heir apparent to Moses. Does anyone in here, I'm hoping, I know it's the 9:15 service, it's early, but does anyone know anything about Moses? Just shout it out there. Ten Commandments, anything else? Burning bush, a basket, because Charlton Heston. Raised by the Egyptians. Man, you guys got Moses down. Okay, so Moses is this like legendary figure in the Bible, right? Now, can you imagine going after him? Can you imagine that you're the follow-up? You're the guy that's going to follow his leadership. Moses is this top dog, huge guy that we talk about. The guy that came after him is a guy by the name of Joshua. Now, here's something interesting about Joshua. Joshua was so influential, we actually still name our kids Joshua. We don't name our kids Moses, at least not very many people do. But Joshua is a name that is stuck. Now, here's something that might be new, and it might, in fact, blow your mind. This is just free. This is ADD. This is a rabbit trail. It has nothing to do with anything except for Joshua. Did you know that Jesus' name was the exact same name as Joshua? May not have known that. In the Old Testament, it is written in Hebrew, and so his actual name would have been Yeshua. You get over to the New Testament, it's written in Greek, and so we translate Yeshua to Jesus. So Jesus' mom and brothers and sisters and his followers would have actually called him Yeshua, and the story we're going to read is actually by a guy by the name of Yeshua, Joshua, okay? So none of your minds were blown, but mine was. The Old Testament, though, this guy named Joshua, he has this incredibly tough job of leading the children of Israel who have come out of slavery with Moses. They've wandered in the wilderness, and now he takes them into this promised land. He is at the end of his life, and he's about to stand up and address the people. He's going to kind of give them a charge and a command of saying, I'm leaving, but this is what I want to leave you with. This is like my final challenge, my final sermon, my final thoughts for you as a people. And this is where we're going to pick up today. Look at what happens. It says in Joshua 24:1, then Joshua summoned all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, including their elders, leaders, judges, and officers. So they came and presented themselves to God. So Joshua gathers all the people among him, and including that are the important people, the elders, the people who have been running this whole thing, this whole nation. They have not had a king yet, okay? They have not had someone that has overseen it. They go from having God leading them to some judges. The judges make a bunch of bad decisions, so they go to a king. The kings make bad decisions. They go into slavery. Then we get to Jesus' day. They're enslaved, like kind of under the rule of Rome. So this is before all of that, and he's addressing these people who they are a mighty powerhouse, but they haven't had a king yet. And he gets them all together, and then he says this. Let's keep reading. He says, Joshua said to the people, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River, and they worshipped other gods. But I took your ancestors, Abraham, from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him into the land of Canaan. I gave him many descendants through his son Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau I gave the mountains of Seir, while Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. Okay, now this is some history, and this history often is what bores us. Like, just get to the action, get to your point. But this history is an incredibly important part. And the reason this history is important is because before a man of God would speak on God's behalf, they would give a history of where they've come from. This is just what they did in their culture. No one would just stand up and say, I'm about to speak on God's behalf. That is, no one would just stand up and say, I've heard from God. If you've heard from God, it was a serious manner. And when you address this, the people actually could rebel if they didn't think you'd heard from God, or they could say, yes, this sounds like it's coming from God. So there's a little bit of nervousness to stand up before it. And the practice, before they do a covenant, this is what he's about to do. He's about to give a covenant to say, hey guys, let's sign on for this. This is the future of our people. And before you give a new covenant, which is coming from God, you always give a history of where the people have come from. If you want to see a New Testament example of this, go to the book of Acts. I think it's in Acts chapter 7. There's a guy by the name of Stephen, and he gets martyred for his faith. He stands up before some religious people, and he gives them a history account of where they've come from. And I've always wondered, like, this is so boring. Why is he telling them the history of, like, where they've come from? Well, he did it because he was believing he had heard something from God. And before you address what you're about to say, you've got to remind the people where they've come from. And so Stephen does this, and the people disagree that it's from God, and so they actually stone him. So understand the pressure that Joshua's under here. He is speaking, and he's not giving a history lesson just to bore us. He's giving a history lesson because he believes what he's about to say is coming from the lips of God. And he gives his history lesson, and the history lesson is incredibly important because he paints this picture. Remember this line that we have going down the center here? You people on this side, you are the boring, no dancing people. I'm sorry. You people on this side, you're the fun dancing people. You love to dance. Okay. Did someone boo from this side or from that side on that one? Oh, you booed. Okay, you booed them. Okay. All right. So, and some of us are just kind of straddling this thing. So this is what Joshua says to the people. He gives them this history lesson, and the history lesson is coming from God. And it starts with the fact that their ancestors, the Israelites' ancestors, didn't start off worshiping God. Abraham was the guy that kind of kicked off this whole faith, the Jewish movement, the Jewish faith. And Abraham's relatives worship pagan gods. And he reminds them of that, that we as a people came from a people group that worshiped lots of pagan gods. But then God chose Abraham, and Abraham decided to follow and obey God, and he followed him, and God blessed Abraham. And he made us into this amazing nation, and he gives them this history, but he starts off with saying, hey, listen, there were these idols, there were these things that were part of our past, and they've been there since the beginning, but we have left that, and we've moved on over to a new land. We were over here, now we're over here, okay? He's painting this picture to them, and let's keep going. He says this. He gives them some more history. He talks about Moses. You guys already know all about Moses, so we're going to skip down a couple verses. He says this, when you crossed the Jordan River and came to Jericho, the men of Jericho fought against you, as did, now I'm going to read these names in just a second, but I want to make sure you guys get what's going on. He has just recapped their whole entire existence from the history of the Israelites before Abraham, all the way through Moses, to now he's caught up to real time. He's now telling them what they've experienced. And he says, you guys remember where we came from. You remember how God led us through the Jordan River. Let's keep going. He says this. Let's see. The men of Jericho fought against you, as did the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Mosquito Bites, and the Jebusites. But I gave you victory over them, and I sent Terah ahead of you to drive out the two kings of the Amorites. It was not your swords, this is so important, it is not your swords and bows that brought you victory. I gave you land, and you had not worked on, that you had not worked on, and I gave you towns you did not build, the towns where you are now living. I gave you vineyards and olive groves for food, though you did not plant them. So what is he saying? Well, he's giving them this history, and he's giving them a history because he's telling them this, what I'm about to say to you, is coming from God, and he's caught up to real time, and now he's painting this picture. And the picture is, hey guys, listen, none of you remember life on this side. All of you right now are experiencing life on this side, and it's an incredibly good life. We are blessed, and we're not blessed. He makes this incredible point. He says, guys, we're not blessed because we were great fighters or because we had great swords or because we're just these awesome people. We are blessed because God did this, and we would all acknowledge that. We would all say, yeah, we've got these great things because God has given it to us. God has blessed us with this. But there is a problem. Some of the people are not wanting to go all the way back over here. They are wanting to kind of just straddle the fence. They're wanting to say, yeah, we've got God, and we sure do love the blessed life of living with God. But we also like kind of being selfish, and we like being in control, and we like kind of hanging out and doing some of the things that we really like to do, because this is truthfully more comfortable than this. This side stretches us. This makes us feel a little bit uncomfortable. Some people might make fun of us or talk about us or joke on us, but right here, this is pretty safe zone. I can just play it safe right here. The problem is, no matter how great we have it with God, we will always be pulled to worship other things. And the pull of the Israelites were they had it incredibly well. They had it great that they had seen with their own eyes that God had blessed them. But no matter how great you ever have it with God, there is always a pull inside of you that wants to pull you back over to this side. There's always something. And this is why the older I get as a Christian, it doesn't become easier to sell out for God or to live for God. There is always a pull, no matter how great you have it. And every single one of you who have ever experienced anything with God can agree with this, that there was a point in your life where you said, I'm all in, I love Jesus, I'm never going to sin again, I'm never going to look at that again, I'm never going to go there again. And then what do? Man, this is pretty comfortable over here. Oh, I feel kind of bad about this, so let me make my way back over here. Oh, this is kind of hard work. And then we end up just standing right here. This is kind of easier. I can have one foot over in this world and kind of just dabble. I won't be like a total pagan. I won't like totally turn my back on God, but I'm just going to do the bare minimum I can so I don't tick off God and I get some of the blessings of following God, but I also get to live for myself. And there's this pull. And the pull is always pulling us back over this way. And most of us aren't willing to fully commit this way. So we end up straddling this line. When you don't fully commit, it leads to mediocrity and ultimately frustration. When you don't fully commit to something, it leads to mediocrity and ultimately frustration. You can apply this to anything in your life. When you don't fully commit to something, it leads to mediocrity and ultimately frustration. You want to know people who have success with a diet? It's people who have fully committed to the diet. You want to know people who are frustrated? Dieters that live right here. I want to be fit. I also want to eat Krispy Kreme. I'm going to work out. I'm also going to eat pizza. Right? And this, anyone who's ever lived in this line, you're frustrated. Think about this with anything in life. Think about it in with your relationships. If you're not all in a relationship, if you don't fully commit to a relationship, it leads to mediocrity and then frustration. And some of us, this is the world we live in. I think I like her. I think I love her, but I want to keep my options open. There is this tension. There's this pull of if I fully commit to something, I've got to be all in. And that feels scary. And so I don't want to go back to my old life. I'm just going to play it safe. The problem is that mediocrity always leads to frustration. And in any area of your life, you want to know someone that is an expert at their job. Do you know why they're an expert at their job? It's because they fully committed to their job. People that hang out in mediocrity, they don't just one day become awesome at something. If you want to fully commit to something, you'll be awesome. And Joshua is painting this picture, and he's saying, hey, listen, guys, the problem here that I want to just make sure that you get is not that I'm trying to make you feel bad because you didn't fully commit to this side. I'm just trying to let you know that if you live in this line right here, you're going to be in mediocrity and frustration for the rest of your life. So you need to choose which side you want to live on. And Joshua is building up to this point that has become probably his most famous speech that he ever gave. It's something that some of you might even have hanging on a plaque in your house. It is his drop the mic moment. It is this moment where he addresses the crowd and he paints this final picture and he lets them know exactly what he's saying now that he's caught him up with history. Let's look what he says next. He says, so fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshiped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. So I don't know if you caught this picture that he's painting, but he's saying, hey, listen, when I look out into our people, this is what I see. I see most of us just living right here. And I'm not here to preach at you, to make you feel bad, or to step on your toes, or to shame you into doing anything. I just want to paint a picture for you. We've all experienced the goodness of God. And if you're here today and you've ever become a Christian, you've experienced the goodness of God. We've experienced what it's like over here. And what Joshua is saying to the people is, hey, listen, I'm not telling you, I'm not trying to shame you to get over there. I'm just saying that today you need to choose. You need to pick a side. Because living right here is not going to get us anywhere. And so today, you guys pick a side. If this side is so great, if you keep getting pulled back to this side and this really is where you live, then stop playing around and pretending like you really love God. Just commit to this and say, hey, I'm just going to dive in. I'm going to worship idols. I'm just going to love pornography. I'm just going to give in to sin. I'm just going to just live in this. Get rid of the guilt and stop playing this game of like, I just never can measure up. I just always feel guilty. I never can do it. Just dive in and just say, nope, this is my world. Forget you Christians. Forget you God. I'm here. Or if you've tasted and seen that God is good, plant yourself over here and just commit to yourself and say, hey, this is my world. And no matter how tempted I am to walk back over here, I'm going to surround myself with some people that are going to pull me back. And I'm going to do some disciplines that are going to remind me daily that this is the world that has brought me life. Because so often we can be jamming out over here and saying, this is so awesome. And then fear starts to creep in and anxiety starts to creep in and worry starts to creep in. And we say, well, I just need to go back to my old habits, my old patterns. This really wasn't that bad. And then we get over here and we say, we get frustrated and say, oh, this was awful. So let me go back over here. But I don't know if I can even go back over there because will God even love me because I've messed up so often. So I'm just going to live right here in a constant sense of frustration. I can't fully sell out to God. I'm not going to fully commit to being a pagan. I'm just going to live a frustrated life. And Joshua is telling the people, it's like today, this is the day, fully commit. Now, let's speed this up because this happened thousands and thousands of years ago. Let's speed this up to modern day Christianity because this isn't just a problem that they dealt with. This is a problem that today we as a people struggle with. A lot of you are married, and so maybe you haven't said this in a long time, but if you're single, if you're a high schooler, middle schooler, if you're single and you've dated, and you're a Christian, there's a great chance at some point in your life you've played out this whole line scenario. You know exactly what it means to live the whole pagan life and just dive full in, and you kind of have an idea of what it means to sell it to God. So what is the Christian? What is the question that modern-day Christians ask often? How close to this line can I get without actually falling over? Like, I want to sell it for God, but I really like some of the stuff over here. So like, I get asked this all the time, and if you're in small groups of people, they'll ask this all the time. How close can I get to this line without fault? Like, okay, if I just hang out like 1 foot in, is God gonna like smite me? Or am I still good? Because I still got 1 foot in the good side. Am I okay to hang out right here? And we say this all the time. It's not just a sex thing. It's not just a singles thing. It is something that Christians say all the time. Okay, I know that I have to be careful with what I watch and put before my eyes. I know that entertainment actually does impact me, and I know I should be careful with it. But I also like a lot of stuff that I know not good for me. So here's what I'll do. I'll just live right here. I don't really like a lot of Christian movies. They're kind of cheesy, so I'm going to just put them away, and I'm going to watch some things, and they're kind of bad for me, but I'm going to live right here. And where does right here always lead to? It always leads to frustration and mediocrity. And Joshua is saying, hey, listen, today, I really am not trying to beat you up. I'm not trying to shame you. I'm trying to cast a vision for the future. And if you want to be a people of God, you just got to pick a side. Which side are you going to go to? Which side are you going to choose? Are you going to choose this side? Because we've experienced the blessings of God on this side. But if you want to be on this side to fully live, you got to fully give. You don't just halfway commit your life to Jesus. You got to dive in full on and say, God, however you want me to spend my money, that's the way I'm spending my money. God, wherever you want me to go, it's not about my dreams and my plans now. I'm going to actually seek you and ask you where you want to send me. God, this isn't just about my plans for my future. This is about being all in. And wherever you direct me, I'm going to obey. I am fully all in for you. Or you can hang out on this side. Joshua would say, hey guys, just pick a side. Because if you pick a side, at least you'll get rid of the frustration of being pulled both ways. This is where the greatest frustration in life lives. And this is where I so often get frustrated with Christianity. Because on the one hand, I want to sell out to Jesus, but on the other hand, I really love being selfish, and so I end up here. But if you want to fully live, you've got to fully give and fully commit. There's a song that we sing pretty often here at Next Level, and I love the lyrics to this song. It says this, my heart beating, my soul breathing, I found my life when I laid it down. Upward falling, spirit soaring, I touched the sky when my knees hit the ground. It's not just a catchy song. It's not just a song that we kind of bob our heads to. It is quoting this exact same idea. If you want to find your life, to truly find your life, it involves laying something down. And so often, we want to find our lives while we still hold on to the old life that God's delivering us from. And God is saying, hey, listen, if you want to find your life, would you trust me? Would you lose your life over here? Because I promise you, over here, I will give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. And over here, I'm not telling you that I'm just going to make you rich, and I'm not telling you you never have problems, but I am telling you that you can find a joy in the midst of your worst circumstances over here. If you're going to be over here, let's just commit and be over here. If you're going to be over here, be over here. It is this area that gets us into so much trouble. So what we're going to do to close today is we're going to sing this song, and we're going to do something that's a little bit of a risk. We're going to do something new that we've never done at Next Level Church. This song talks about actually being on your knees, and it is this picture of being fully surrendered, to just say, okay, God, no more games, like, I'm here. And this idea of surrendering is not something that you do just one time at a service. It is something that Jesus told us we had to do daily, that you daily have to die to yourself. Why? Because no matter how great God's been to us, we're always pulled back to this old self. And so daily we have to remind ourselves where God is taking us and that we were meant to live for so much more. So we're going to sing this song. And I just want to tell you, I want to echo the words of Joshua. To me, it doesn't matter which side you pick. It doesn't matter. If you want to go over here, I'll still respect you. You live over here and have fun being a pagan. If you want to... I'm not trying to be harsh. I said I would still love you. Like, let's just say it for what it is, though. But if you want to go over here, then I'm not trying to shame you over here or make you feel bad. If God is leading you over here, then fully commit. So I'm not telling you what you have to do. I'm just telling you that as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. So for me, I'm going to lead, but I'm just going to come up and pretend this is some type of altar, and I'm just going to be on my knees as we sing this song. And you might think this is weird. This is one of those Christian things. I come to Next Level Church because it doesn't do weird Christian things. That's totally fine. Have a seat. Come back next week. We won't be as weird. But for today, I felt it was appropriate to fully commit, to get off of this line of saying, yeah, I'm going to sing about things like giving my life fully to God, but I'm going to sing with my hands in my pocket because I'm embarrassed that someone might make fun of me or laugh at me or might see that I'm selling out to this Jesus. And so you're welcome to join me if you want. There's not a ton of room up here, but there's some room. And if you want to, you can join me up here. I'm just going to kneel as this song plays. And if it gets crowded, you can just kneel in the aisle. Or if you want the comforts of your chair, you can just kneel at your chair. If you don't want to kneel, that's totally fine. There is no judgment here. I'm just telling you that for this moment, I needed the reminder that right here is killing me. And that I've got to get over here and stay over here. Because this is where life in Christ is. So we're going to sing, I'm going to pray, the band's going to come, and we're going to take care of business. God, I just ask that you would speak to our hearts. And God, would you just stir something inside of us that maybe we didn't even know was there? Would you help us to get out of mediocrity? Would you help push us to a life, God, that is all in for you? Would you help us to fully live? Would you help us to fully give so we can fully live? God, would you forgive us for just loving to straddle that line and having it both ways? God, would you speak to our hearts and our minds? Would you remind us this coming week when it's Tuesday and Wednesday and we're far away from a church service, would you remind us that you do love us and there's life in a relationship with you? Would you say something to us in this moment that would stick with us for the rest of our lives? And would you help us to choose to obey you no matter how hard it is? We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.